Hour number two on this Monday morning. Darren McFarland here on the south side of town in Rutherford County. Willie Donick representing East Nashville. Chase McCabe holding the fort down in Bellevue. Elijah Campbell back at 1824 Murfreesboro Pike, our Wholesale Inc. game studios powered by RumbleOn.com. Don't forget, at 1 o'clock we are going to unveil our Nashville sports bracket, the best Nashville athletes in the last 30 years. So we're looking forward to that today at 1 o'clock. And then our voting will begin on tomorrow, the final day of the month of March. Let's bring in Teron Davenport. Let's talk with TD. That's his podcast, Talking with TD. He does a fantastic job with that. He's always got really, really good interviews. You need to check it out, especially in these times. I mean, especially in these times. And he joins us every Monday on the program. Teron, what's going on?
Hey, what's going on, man? Just, holding it down like we have to continue to do.
Yeah, how crazy is this bid? We haven't really had a chance to talk to you about what it's been like on your end. Just, you know, as we all experience something brand new for the first time, how's it been for you not having sports? I mean, yeah, you're actually covering one sport that is alive and well and actually producing news. Really, there's not much else going on out there. But I guess for you, I guess it's been a little bit easier with that being said.
No, it hasn't been easier. It just got to go day by day. I started to watch new shows. I've watched more TV in this last week and a half or so than I've watched probably in the last 5 to 10 years.
I'm with you on that. Yep, you're right.
I've been binging on Pablo Escobar documentaries. It's fascinating. But, yeah, I mean, as far as just how things have changed, it's just a lot different. Like, you can't turn on Sports Center and actually see live highlights. It's definitely crazy. And it's just, you know, I'm a Mets fan, right? So this is hope is supposed to spring eternally at this point for me, and it's not happening. So, you know, that's kind of what's going on for me in the sports world.
Yeah, the Mets, leave it up to them to deliver bad news to their fans like you and Willie. There's no season, so it's already bad enough. Like, there's no season right now, but then they have to deliver that Noah Syndergaard has already had successful Tommy John surgery.
Yeah, it's crazy. You know, I was joking with Lenny Dykstra on Twitter about this, and it's just unfortunate that this team just. I stick by him, and I know Willie does too. But it's just, man, it's just one heart. It's like staying with a mate that continues to cheat on you. You know what I mean? They just keep breaking your heart, but you keep coming back for more.
Did I just hear that you were interacting with Lenny Dykstra on Twitter?
Oh yeah, Lenny is awesome on Twitter. I actually had an idea pop into my mind last night, like 1 o'clock in the morning. I said, you know, I'm going to reach out to some of the producers and just see if I could find somebody at ESPN because I want to do a 30 for 30 on it.
Teron, by the way, I will sign up to watch that for sure. I'm raising my hand. Yes, I'm in. I'm going to send you a Twitter video that Lenny put out recently.
Don't do that to him.
Why?
He's probably already seen it.
Well, I know. I just want to send, because I've already sent it to Chase and Willie. We had fun off the air. We can't talk about it yet. We can't talk about it on the
airwaves.
But I will send that to you privately in a text. Just if you haven't seen it, you'll have to watch a Lenny video from, I don't know, 4 or 5 days ago. But I'll sign up for that 30 for 30.
Yeah.
I'll sign up for that 30 for 30. I just was looking at Sportsline. They put out win totals for the AFC South. And I'm just going to ask you, and this was in the last 10 minutes or so, care to guess? They have two teams tied at the top for the most over-under for wins this season. Can you name those two teams in the AFC South?
I'm going to say Colts and Texans, honestly.
It's a good guess. Good guess. How about the Colts and the wrong T, Titans, not Texans. How about that? Titans and Colts, 8.5 wins. Texans, 8 wins. Jags, 4.5.
Wow.
Yeah. So what do you make
of
that?
11-5. I see it going 11-5, 10-6, Colts, and then Titans. And then there's no telling what's going to happen with the Texans and the Jaguars. I think they'll be in the top five drafting in 2021.
Mm. So what do you make of the moves thus far? And I guess the follow-up is, as we said here, Wednesday will be April, and so we'll be going into draft month. Do you think the Titans, does John Robinson have another move, a significant move in play or in mind before the draft? How would you answer that?
I think he has something in mind as far as adding pass rushing help or adding a player that can impact the quarterback. I think that's something that they're looking at doing. I think their ultimate plan at this point has fallen through, which was obviously Clowney. So the way I look at it,
you do think it's
GMs
falling through?
Like John Robinson. What's that?
You do think it's fallen through at this point?
I mean, I'm not going to say it's fallen through, but obviously it hasn't gone the way I thought it would have gone as far as them signing them. But, you know, it's something that could happen as we get further away from the opening of free agency. Obviously, his value goes down. So next thing you know, that $20 million a year ticket is going to become more reasonable. But how many years are you going to be able to sign him at that type of rate?
Wow, interesting. So Teron, let's take that premise that Clowney is not in the mix, and you have quite a bit more capital to work with in terms of the salary cap space. What do you think the next moves are? We know the draft is a pretty deep draft at a lot of positions, that and they could address it that way. Are there other veterans out there, if it's not Clowney, especially on defensive line, that you think that they would maybe move resources towards?
Well, I mean, I think Marcus Golden is still someone to consider. He's not solely a defensive end. He's an outside linebacker as well. So I think he still has to be in the mix. But after that, you know, Everson Griffin, maybe. But why would you get rid of a 30-year-old Jarrell Casey to sign a 32-year-old Everson Griffin that's going to probably command $8 to $9 million? That one wouldn't really make sense to me. So I don't see them going that route. I think really, as far as pass rushers are concerned, it's Clowney, Golden, and then it's just, okay, there's an assortment of guys that you could plug into there, but what are they going to give you?
Were you disappointed in the Casey trade?
I was, yeah, for sure. I was very disappointed in the trade initially, and then I made sense of it. I said, okay, well, if the Broncos are taking all of Casey's cap and everything, his cap charge, they're going after Clowney, or they're going to sign Golden and get another player. There are going to be corresponding moves. That's what I thought, and that's how I made sense of it. But obviously those corresponding moves haven't happened, and now it's back to, okay, what was the trade done for?
Well, I'm guessing there's got to be some corresponding moves eventually, but I do wonder if there was plan A. There has to be plan A, plan B, plan C, almost, when you make a trade like that, because you can't guarantee that you're going to get Clowney. So where is Logan Ryan in this equation?
That's a good question. That's a good question. I can't really tell you. I've reached out to his agent multiple times and haven't gotten a return, you know, so I can't tell you exactly where he stands and what's going on there. It's one of those things where, you know, Titans fans should hope that he comes back, but I think they're looking towards the draft, and they're trying to get younger, and they're not rebuilding, they're retooling, it seems like, and they're doing that on the fly.
We're talking to Teron Davenport, ESPN Titans NFL Nation reporter. So sticking with that, because I was looking at Twitter, and SpotTrack put out a rumored potential NFL trade candidates, and one of the guys that pops up on that list is somebody that you have talked about on our show, on Chasing TD, on this show as well, and that is Matthew Judon from Baltimore. Could you see that possibly plan B or C or whatever could be a trade involving Matthew Judon coming to the Titans?
I don't know that he's a guy that if, I'm going to say no. I'll just put it to you that way. I don't think they would give up a first-round pick. I think the Ravens are going to be looking to get a first-round pick for Judon. And I think you could get a player like that in the draft. You know, I look at some of the guys, maybe not as versatile where you could line them up all over the place the way the Ravens do, but I don't think that's exactly what the Titans need. So I'm going to say no to that one.
The Titans did announce a couple of free agents. Now, they have not officially announced Vic Beasley yet. I know there's some stuff with the physicals and not being able to do that with everything going on. But they did announce Nick, is it Zubnar? Is that how you say his last name? And Ty Samborilo, some depth players. Yeah. What are your thoughts on them?
I mean, I think it's just that, depth players. You know, it's not really anything to exactly go crazy about for Titans fans. I think it's a move. The linebacker from the Chargers, he'll be a special teams guy. I mean, there's a chance he doesn't make the roster too. You know what I mean? So it could go either way. Sambrello, as you know, I've said before, he's a depth guy. He gives them someone who can play both tackle spots. I still think Quisenberry is very firmly in the mix because he gives you that guard play as well. So I don't think either moves are, you know, it's not like you're going to say Tyler Sambrello, championship. You know what I mean? That's not going to happen. So these are moves that you see happening that are strictly for depth.
Now, obviously a lot can change with the draft, but we all believe Dennis Kelly is going to be the starting right tackle for this team. You brought up Quisenberry. Do you feel confident that he becomes what Dennis Kelly now used to be? That, I mean, he's caught a touchdown pass too, so he can have that, even that type of versatility, plus, like you said, playing up and down the line.
Yeah, I mean, I feel confident that he could be a guy that could do that for him. I think when you look at this whole picture as far as the draft is concerned, I think a guy like Temple's Matt Hennessy is going to be in play because he could be, you know, and don't get this wrong, Ben Jones played outstanding football, and I'm not saying replace him, but I'm saying down the line he could be a guy that could step in and be your starting center, but he could also give you depth at guard, because one thing you notice they don't have is a guy that could play center, you know, could switch up, be their interior piano man, so to speak, you know, play both guard spots and center. So Hennessy is a good option. I think John Runyon out of Michigan, you know, I think he's another guy, but Quisenberry, he definitely, in my opinion, will be on the roster, and I think he'll take over that Dennis Kelly role.
Teron, they also lock up Mykole Pruitt, who's had a nice couple of years for this team. So are you confident going into training camp with Firkser, Pruitt, and, of course, Jonnu Smith being those top three tight ends, or would you still like to see that position addressed in the draft?
I think they should address the position in the draft because I think Pruitt has proven himself to be more of an H-back. They'll probably use him in line, but I think if you get a guy like a Devin Asiasi out of UCLA, I think he would be a really good addition for them. There are other guys, too. This isn't a strong tight end class, so I think they could add somebody later, you know, the fifth or seventh round, and get a guy that could come in and help them. So I would actually roll with 3.5 tight ends, so to speak, because you have Pruitt as your H-back, fullback type, and obviously Blasingame will be a fullback for them as well. But I think they definitely should look at adding another player to help them in line.
Teron, last thing. We were kicking around kind of what the NBA's put out there, Brian Windhorst, and kind of some of the discussion pieces that they are having. There have been some college football coaches. We had Trent Dilfer on Friday, a high school coach here in town. You know, I just flat out asked him, are you concerned about this season? And he said, you know, selfishly, you know, there's bigger things to worry about, but selfishly, yes. And so I know that there's been things even floated out there about maybe football season being July, August, September to kind of avoid the cold months. What do you think the NFL is discussing behind the scenes? And I'm obviously just asking you for your opinion, but I can't imagine that they think it's going to be that they think business as usual, right? September, the beginning of September through the end of December, and away we go. What do you think they're talking about?
I think they're saying, let's get through the draft, and then I think they're trying to figure out ways to just make sure that, that everything still goes as planned, because the NFL just seems like a machine. It's the show must go on mindset, but obviously they want to make it as safe as possible. So I would say they're looking at ways to try to make sure that the season still starts exactly when it's supposed to, that first week of September.
I don't think it's about the first week. Well, I don't know. I shouldn't say that. But what do you think? How would you go about it? If I'm just asking you, what do you think that they need to be thinking? What, you know, would you have an alternate plan? Would you be thinking about maybe moving this up earlier, or if you could? I mean, what would you say to that?
I would honestly say put it off as much as possible, because we don't know what the situation is going to be at the end of April, let alone May, June, and July, so and even into September. So I would say try to have it start as normal, but have that understanding that you're probably going to have to push it back. That would be my mindset.
Good stuff. Who do you have this week, Teron? Who are you going to be talking to?
Oh, well, you know, we have Jalen Hurts coming on. That's something I've been working and working and working since January, and we got it done. I'm looking forward to this show so much that I'm only having him. I have his quarterback coach on as well, the guy who orchestrated the pro day at Oklahoma. So it's a big show. I'm excited about this, because Jalen Hurts is an outstanding prospect, and I think he's a guy that's one of the top quarterbacks in this draft class.
This will get a lot of people's attention for sure. And you are expected to drop that podcast on Wednesday. Is that correct?
It'll drop Wednesday night into Thursday.
Okay.
That's when it usually works. I'm going to work with Calvin to try to get that one up Wednesday night itself. And just let's run with it.
Sounds good. We will continue to get the message out so people check that out. That will have a lot of people in these parts interested for sure. Teron, be safe. Thanks for doing this, and we'll talk soon.
Appreciate it. You guys take it easy.
Talking with TD, there you go. Jalen Hurts is going to be his special guest this week, so
look
be looking for that podcast. That is going to be really, really good for sure. We'll talk about some of the things you just heard on the other side. Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.